All right, recording now. Yeah, we're live. Not live.
What up, everybody?
We're live on the recording. What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Welcome back, guys, to the Teacher's Lounge presented by Beat Refinery. If you want to learn how to mix, scratch, and make music, visit us at beatrefinery.com. We have locations nationwide. And, of course, we have all of our top instructors and co-founders here on this podcast. My name is DJ Geometrics. We got stylist Chris.
What up?
Sean J.
Ding, 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 ding.
Sean J.
Doc Bluss.
What up, everybody?
And of course, Mr. Champion himself, DJ As One.
Hi. My mom calls me Art.
I kind of missed the sound effects. We probably should bring those back.
I'll try to maybe
create like a new like a little short intro song or something.
Okay.
But
I have to just figure out an Ableton.
I think his new name is Mr. Essentially.
Essentially, long story short.
It's funny. Last week, at Art's quote unquote engagement party, like everybody yelling out, essentially.
Oh yeah, but like let's just say it now though. Like congratulations to DJ As One.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Lady As One.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's legal.
Podcast. All you men. Sorry, As One is taken now.
He is off the market.
He's off the market.
Oh man, no. All your fans.
All your OnlyFans. They can't.
Oh yeah. All right, tell us about your quote-unquote engagement party last week.
Yeah.
So I had an engagement party, which was kind of an okey-doke, because at the end of the party, we surprised people and told people that we actually already got married. We eloped in Vegas when I was there. And, so the party was kind of just a gathering of friends and family to kind of let them know all at once that, yeah, it's official. But other than that, like, at the end of the day, I already knew that something was going to go down. And as you guys stated, this is probably the quickest, cheapest way that it can get done. So, yeah, it worked out well. No, but yeah, it's funny because someone who works in the wedding industry, I could have done that, the big wedding too. But going to so many, and if you guys know me, we kind of did our own thing. So
hey, man, if I ever get like decide to get married for a second time, I'll probably go your route. You know that, yeah, that's yeah. You know.
what are you talking about, Gio? You don't. What do you mean here? What's going on? What
do we have hypothetical? In case my wife gets sick of me.
Everything okay? Everything okay?
Everything's peachy.
The world could end tomorrow. I don't know.
Virtual world, I mean.
are you going to a new kind of thought process? You're adding a second wife? The second wife?
You know, he might go fishing.
Nah, man, just, no, like, way. Fishing, man. I would never. You know what? That's just too much for me. There's no way I can balance two women, man. It's insane. It's already tough enough to do one, but
I've tried it, bro. I could.
That's
too
much work.
I could handle it, kind of like. I hate these words physically, but my pockets couldn't handle that, bro.
Yo, how crazy are these people that have like dual lives? Like they have one family and kids and like married, and then they have another one over on this side. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
There's people imagine. That actually
and it's real. Really and they don't like even that. Know each other exists.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There's just
fun.
No way.
It was definitely fun seeing all the DJs.
Yeah, it was like a little mini NAMM reunion, like an actual. Everybody that we saw was like the last time we all were at NAMM together. They're all there.
Oh yeah.
Except for Sean though, but you know, we missed Sean. You. We missed you, man.
Yeah,
Sean, your mic's not working right now.
You're on mute. Are you muted, Sean?
No, there's something wrong with his mic. Well, as Sean is fixing his mic, what did everybody do over the weekend?
Check. I DJ'd a wedding.
There we go.
Short and simple and to the point. Done.
But yeah, Sean, we missed you at Art's Art and Lee's engagement party.
I dropped the ball. I'm sorry about that, but much love to you guys. Congratulations
bro,
and all that.
Missed you. But we had it was a good time.
It's all good. So what did you do, Sean, over the weekend?
I had a wedding on Saturday, and it was down the street from my house, an old club that people in Baltimore know very well called Hammer Jack's. One of the places that I was starting my career off is now a wedding venue, and I'm there again this coming Saturday, too. So I'm not mad at that. I get to be in the club without being in the club.
Wait, it's not called Hammer Jack's anymore, though, is it?
Nope. It is officially called the Assembly Room.
I was just going to say, you're talking about the Assembly Room, though, right?
The Assembly Room.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Got it. Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, I like that.
What about you, Gio?
Oh, I DJed Saturday. I DJed a wedding, another postponed wedding from like last year, at the Anderson House in D.C. Very historic house. Yes. And I mean, you know, the party was great, you know, everything, but
there's a but.
You know me, Chris. I have certain venues that I will never ever do.
You got a blacklist.
Because I have a blacklist. Because of, you know, of course, due to the load-in process is so important to me. So Anderson House, my very very first time doing a wedding there, and yeah, man, like the load-in process was like so horrible. You know, like the side area where you load in. They got like 5-6 steps up, but like they do have like a ramp that they use to, you know, put it over the step, but like at least get a longer ramp so you can, like, you know, because it still leaves that one step.
That's
they
the
left
worst.
One step. Aww. And I'm watching all these caterers. Oh my god, I'm watching these caterers, like, you know those big racks that of like where they store like glass and
glass racks. Yeah.
Those things were tall. They were like tilting it like 45 degrees just to get it up onto the ramp, you know, over that one step. I'm like, I'm not going to do that with my equipment.
How does this place have vendors? Like,
I'm sure everybody's feeling the same way you were.
I'm seeing all these like caterers where like,
is the Anderson House near Georgetown?
It's
Mass Ave. It's right in Embassy. Right
Embassy Row.
Oh yeah. Okay.
I'm trying to figure out if I've been there, but yeah.
By DuPont Circle.
Didn't you say earlier before we started recording that they had rules about not?
It's not
dragging.
Well, that's one. That's one thing. That's like, you know, like I had to set up equipment in the back in the garden area, so it's like, you know, they. Basically, if you try, you can't even like bring equipment from the back, even if, like, you know, because they have all these steps too. But like, once you get your, you know, equipment, your cart in up those stairs and through the kitchen, and then once you get to like the ballroom, they're really strict about their floors not, you know, being touched by any kind of like carts. Yeah. So it's like, all right, you have to stop at a certain point and then carry everything else. So they had me set up like all the way to the other end. Now initially,
that's annoying.
Initially, they were planning on putting me up the balcony. So there's a balcony overlooking the ballroom. But I told them, I don't think, because I think they said they didn't have any elevators.
Oh, no.
No, nope. They don't.
Nope. Nope. So I'm like, you know what? That is like during the week of like, you know, like... Paul. During the week of the wedding, it's like, no, I even made excuses to where, like, oh, it's going to make the sound all sound echoey, you know, it's not going to be a good look, you know, it's not going to be. And
which
plus,
also,
you know,
isn't a lie, but it was in your interest.
Yeah, and that too, and like, also, I'm like, I want to be close to the crowd, so it's like, I don't want to be, like, disconnected from the crowd.
Yeah, there's no DJ in a wedding setting that wants to be that far away.
Like, yeah.
You know, that can work in, like, a dance club where you put the DJ high and he's like some mystical creature in the air, like providing soundtrack, and people are like, oh, that's the DJ up there, and it's,
I kind of like that vibe, I'm not gonna lie,
but like in a way, like the bird, you have a lot of intel that you need to gather.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And you need to be close in that for sure. But I've actually had a lot of really nice experiences at the Anderson House. I've probably been there 4 or 5 times. Most of the time, I just grin and bear the fact that the load-in is so difficult. But the parties, the type of people that usually get that venue really care about having a good party. And
yeah, it's a classy joint, man.
It's a really classy joint. I mean, there's There's paintings in there that are over 500 years old. There's there's tapestries.
Yo, it's funny. Nice. Like me, me and the vendors, you know, like during like once, you know, everybody was fed, and then we basically all the vendors had like a family meal, like in one of the rooms.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I was telling like the videographer, I was like, man, like I wonder what kind of Illuminati meetings they were having in this room itself.
It's
like,
scary room.
There's so, I'm sure some stuff
so
like
much
that.
History in this room. They had like all these bookshelves with like, you know, original first edition books and like all the paintings with all the rich white dudes, you know, that created the country. But yeah,
that is crazy to think
about. But yeah, it's, add Anderson House to the blacklist unless I can get paid a lot.
It's all good.
Jebediah
Springfield.
Actually, you know what? The only time I'll do Anderson House again if they, you know, bring in like a sound vendor to, you know, I'll just bring in my control.
I,
that's
I was,
it.
I was gonna say a lot of times I'm fortunate enough that's what I when I'm there that's what I get is I've had the sound provided from somebody else and. And I'm able to kind of just bring in and just same thing though. You bring your,
your turntables. Yeah, I do too.
I try not to do controllers at weddings. I still try to bring turntables.
Same thing.
And so you still got to lug those in.
What about you, Chris, man? Like I saw you were in Nantucket.
Yeah, I was in Nantucket for
Nantucket Nectars. In and out,
amazing time. So there's a band that I play with a bunch. They're from New York. They're called Soundhouse, and they're one of the dopest wedding bands I've ever played with. They're incredibly versatile, and they have powerhouse singers. They have four singers. They're all super super talented and can cover the whole range of music. And their musicians are phenomenal. Three horn section. So when you got the horns, when you got the sax, the trumpet and the trombone all there, everything just sounds so much better with horns, as opposed to a keys, like synthesizing the horn,
right?
Like when they MIDI. Actually hit the horns from like a, you know, Uptown Funk, let's say, and those horns are real and not coming off a synth. They're just, it brings the whole thing to life. And then the fun thing with them is I basically play alongside them. So my DJ setup for the reception is with them on stage, and I'll add loops.
I love that stuff.
So like I play with them enough that the drummer and I communicate if he's like, yo, I need a little oomph on this one. So some songs I'll just add a 4/4 loop so that he doesn't have to worry about playing the kick, and it like really build, it fills it out in a way. And then, so he'll just go crazy on the highs and the snares. And, and then, you know, sometimes like they'll take a 10 minute break and I'll whatever they're doing, I'll just find something that mixes in, they'll fade out and like my song will come on. And the people at the party have no idea. Like they hear like Michael Jackson start singing. They're like, wait, where did that come from? And then they look up and the band is like gone and I'm up there and they're like, oh, okay. And then when they come back, like we did this thing this week where we had to do the cake cutting to California Girls. And so they were doing California Girls and I was playing the real version. And then when the band came on for the third chorus, they came right in and the singer took over and I just like faded out and they took it from there. And you couldn't even tell. Like,
so that's power.
Wait, Beach Boys or?
No, Katy Perry.
Katy Perry, yeah.
And yeah, so it's so fun, man. It's so fun to it's humbling and inspiring to be on stage with musicians like that. And then
definitely.
And then when they're done, like 10 minutes before, 15 minutes before, I had a whole other setup in another room. And I walked over to my other, took my computer, walked to the other setup and did like a 3-hour after party, which was, I'm telling you, man, a really good wedding party right now, at least for me in my career, is way more hype than any clubs I could possibly DJ at.
1000% agree.
These people are jumping and screaming and going crazy for 3 hours. That does not happen at a nightclub. I mean, agree. You all have these little blow up spots, but like
right.
The level of energy just going back. It was over so fast. Like I can't. That was the fastest 3 hours I've ever felt DJing because it's like they're hanging on to every song, and they're continually making me get excited about the directions we can go, you know? And so
and just to piggyback real quick, I think we were talking about this the other day in terms of 2x4 sets, but in reality, just to just to make it clear, like what Chris is doing with the band, you can't do that unless you know how to mix by ear.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah.
So for everybody in this day and age where I get it, man, Serato tells us that these programs tell us so much information that's useful, and that's why we can sound tight like we do, but don't rely purely on the visuals, guys.
Like that screen as far away from you as you can.
Remember your hearing, please, and try to learn how to balance both of those, you know, or if anything, use more hearing. Use more hearing sense than visual sense for when DJing. Try to.
Dope. That sounded dope, man. Yeah, wow, Nantucket. Yeah. Was that like how do you is it like, do you have to fly there and then take a train?
So there's a couple ways to get there. Right now we're in a fortunate time of the year where there's a lot of people from the DC area that just go for weekend trips. So you can get a direct from DC to the island.
Oh, wow.
But in other times of the year, if you're flying on random days or whatever, you got to fly into Boston and then you take what's called Cape Air, the Cape Air plane over to Nantucket. And
the puddle jumper.
I don't even know if puddle jumper, that might be too big. Because it's including the captain, it's 9 people on the plane. And somebody usually sits on the seat next to the captain. You have to like take an oath that you're not going to.
I thought somebody sits on the wing or something.
But it's like basically being in a, and it's tiny, you know. It's like imagine like a Cessna or something, just with a few more rows to it. Like it's wild, man. You see everything. It's like fun and terrible.
You hear everything.
It's so loud. Yeah, anytime I've been there maybe 5 or 6 times now for weddings, and I've had to take Cape Air 3, and yeah, I'll take my DJ headphones out and put them over my ears and put my earphones, my earplugs in because it's so loud.
Wow. Yeah. Awesome, man. What about you, Art? What did you do over the weekend?
Well, I had my party, and then...
Other than like your engagement party hangover.
I had the engagement party Thursday. Had to DJ... I DJed at Death Punch Bar on Friday, and then on Saturday, I worked for Stylus Chris Music Group. And I DJed at the Wharf in DC. I did one event, and then I think kind of last minute I got booked for a secondary event out there since I was going to be out there, and they kind of shifted me around. It was a good time. It was a little private event for a sailing group out in DC. Super cool. Long story short, when I did the floating stage. There's kind of a disconnect from you and the crowd because it's a real stage floating on water with like kind of big stair seats. And I just remember doing my set and then I finished and I hit the As One sample and then I just kind of waved and I said, thanks guys. And there was this awkward like 15 seconds of silence.
And then
the slow clap.
Oh yeah, we clap now.
Next thing you know, everybody's clapping, everybody's standing up and they're clapping, dude. I was just like, oh my god, I had to take a bow. It was really cool.
I thought you got a pity clap.
It was like I wasn't told what to play. I didn't know what I was just literally like trying to look out and see what people were moving to and I still doing my thing. And like I said, it was a cool like little reassuring moment that I had a good set that day.
I'm sure felt like an eternity.
Yeah. I like watching some of your Instagram stories, Art, when you do the Wharf gig, you know. It's definitely a fun gig.
It's a fun gig because the greatest people watching gig of all time.
It is. And it what is. I realized too, there's a lot of people that are there to just people watch.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
a lot of people Hang from out. Out of town.
Yeah, like me.
Who were just hanging
out. I ride up my bike and people watch for sure.
Yeah. They were people who were, you could just tell, they were just out for the weekend, like maybe from a whole nother country even.
Yeah.
And they see, they're like, oh yeah, let's have a seat. Let's watch this DJ. And I noticed two of those folks and I hit a couple Latin tunes. I saw them booging and I was like, all right, I know what I'm going to play for these folks. I started hitting with the Mark Anthony and all that. And they were like, ooh. And then of course people think I'm Spanish at that point, but it's like, I'm not. I'm just a DJ.
Play some Ozuna.
Yeah. Mm. No, but then I had a third gig. I had to jet out of there and go straight to my last gig at Black Whiskey, which was really good as well. the really good crowd, actually, built in crowd. I feel bad for Death Punch because it's Death Punch and Black Whiskey are the same owners. It's just, and Death Punch is such a cool bar, cool concept, such a cool vibe, but nobody knows it's there.
Dope.
So Adams Morgan, Death Punch, guys, check it out.
Let's check it out. I like Adams Morgan.
Yeah. Doc Bluss, yo,
what up?
Real quick, you know, I've known Adrian for Mr. Doc Bluss for like a year and a half now. And I can't believe we've never met in person ever. During, I mean, you know, it's the pandemic, everything's like done virtual. So, and I'm finally meeting this guy at our arts engagement party. And I'm like, holy crap, man.
You're like, tall.
You are tall, man.
I'm tall.
6'4" tall.
Doc Bluss is a giant.
Giant, man. Dude.
We're going to have to get like ID. And then Doc Bluss on his guitar, and it could be like the tall man group.
I hope you don't take offense to this, Doc. We're saying it like we're kind of jealous, really. We're all kind of jealous.
Well, I don't control these things.
Yeah, we don't control how tall we are either.
You just control the music.
I'd be in the NBA if I was 6'4".
I know, right. Same here, man.
I was a rower. Length definitely
I can helped. See that.
Yeah.
How was your weekend, Doc?
Oh man! Well, I just want to say it was really dope to see everybody for Art's engagement party / now marriage party. I love how that turned into a like
wedding
party when the announcement came through. Oh. And I mean, we had music set up, Art set up music there, and people kind of were playing around with it. Literally, the whole room, many people were. Very talented, legendary DJs that I look up to. And so I'd never been so nervous to actually get behind the decks and play because I knew that I was there with people.
Dude, but you do it all the time anyways when we were online through the whole pandemic.
I know. It is different. I don't know.
Being in the room, right?
It is true. I mean, I was, yeah.
That is good training for you, man.
It's excellent training.
We were doing all that during the pandemic.
Yeah, I do want to shout out everybody that during quarantine got on Twitch and started live streaming. That was tremendous practice. I'm very grateful of it. And here we are right now as well. And bringing some news and things that we want to share with you guys. And this weekend was... awesome. I got to, it was spontaneous to be here in DC, like since, you know, moving to Austin, I came here for a couple weeks to surprise my mom and go to your engagement party and a wedding of another friend. And I did not expect to be able to play in the city. I really feel like since quarantine, the scene feels like it's flourishing in another way, like in a way that I hadn't seen before. Last weekend, I know I'm talking about this weekend, but real quick, like I had this opportunity to play at an after hours party on U Street and like this really cool like bud bar. And, it's legal in DC. So the culture was way more forward, not on drinking and not even like much going on other than just listening to really good music. And it was one of those things where we plugged in last minute. It was pretty spontaneous. And then all of a sudden it's like 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And like it was
party, bro.
Timeless, you know, that kind of vibe. And
you had a party.
Yeah, it was awesome. And this weekend I got to play at El Techo for the first time, which was great. Really, really nice to see a bunch of friends, family. My mom came out and a bunch of high school friends, other friends, friends of friends that like, yo, Adrian's in town or whatever. And got to see them and say hi and bye while playing like some of my favorite house music. I just very much appreciate that DC loves good, real house music. Like Carrie Chandler, like, you know, Frankie Knuckles. I mean, we were going deep and keeping it in the
90s. We're pretty cultured here in DC, we like to think.
Yeah.
People have a good palate.
We're kind of cultured out here.
Yeah. Mixing it also with newer stuff. Anyway, but it was just so much fun to really groove and be there with friends outside on the rooftop of El Techo.
Well, can we go ahead and talk about what you want to talk about with the gig?
Yes.
Let's lead that into the thing. Don't you got to learn this?
So I guess this is the segment we call Confessions of a DJ.
Speak on it.
Yeah, we were fighting there for the banner. But the thing I wanted to bring up that we were talking about before recording was that, you know, I noticed that really, you know, I was kind of alluding to it, that being in Austin is a very different scene than here in DC. And I'm just so grateful really to be here and to have been able to caught up with everybody and like including you guys, and actually like at playing in some of these places. I like this, you know, this underground kind of scene that I really love. And Austin is very nascent. Like it's there's a lot of potential and a lot of things that, people are figuring out and challenging, and it's exciting to be there. It's fun. And so really like top down though, taking a step back and thinking about it, it's when there's, I was asking a question, when there's a certain vibe that a place really vibes with, but you don't necessarily, like you come there to play, or I don't know, you have, like you notice that there's a certain kind of music, like tech house, for example, that everyone really likes, but you're invited to play your house music. Do you change the vibe, or do you like read the room and do something that you know that people are going to enjoy, that's like maybe not something you necessarily would like to play? Or do you bring the stuff that's new that other people haven't probably heard of before, that maybe people might not vibe with as much? And I wanted to present the question, what do you do when you're in this pickle, this situation?
That's a very real question. But
especially for like Sean and like and Chris, you guys probably play more house music than, you know, like Art and I, you know. But you probably
I love the house the music you guys play. You know that. I'm a huge fan of you guys.
I'm from cut from the cloth of this guy, so you know, hey. But my suggestion to you is actually a suggestion that was given to me by somebody years ago, that anybody who's over 30 in a DJ in the DJ space is probably familiar with, Ian Golden, the founder of DJ Tech Tools. I had a chance to meet him when he came to DC, and I had this similar conversation with him, but he's one of those innovative DJs who decided to start playing on controllers before it was popular to have a controller in the DJ booth. Right. So people would be at like an all funk party, be like, yo, why does this guy not have turntables? So his suggestion to me is, in a weird situation where like people have an expectation of a certain style of music and you're used to doing something different, play what they're familiar with, or sorry, I just said that backward. Play what you do in a way that they're familiar with. And the way I really internalized that was, I don't do techno parties. I don't do a lot of after hours joints where you're going to get that like tech house vibe, but I wanted to educate myself on how that works. Ian Golden is a person who does that. So I just really like took that advice and dove into boiler room sets that you can find on YouTube and watch what those people are doing, and take little tidbits of like mixing techniques. Like, all right, well, I'm going to drop in a like tape delay and turn up the highs real quick. Little stuff like that that people are used to seeing in that environment, and do your thing in a way that's palatable for them to kind of digest it. That's what's worked for me, but it took a long time to really make sense of it.
Yes.
I think the Jazzy Jeff kind of formula, it will definitely work too. And this kind of comes back with you having to realize that even though you're an artist and you're a DJ, but if you are getting booked to play a party, you're not like Tiesto, then, you know, there's a little bit of push and pull. So you got to give them what they want. It's like you spoon feed them what they're used to. And once you have them eating out of the palm of your hands, that's when you put in
your own medicine.
Like, oh no, you like that, you better like this.
Another way to put it is like, I always make sure that my kids eat their vegetables, but you know,
you don't give a plate full of vegetables.
I know they want all this other stuff too, so it's like you have to be like, all right, I'm gonna give you this sound that I want you to hear.
Cotton candy.
You're gonna hear these tracks that I really want to play, and these are your vegetables, and I'll reward you with your hostess cupcake later of this song that you like. The person that was the greatest at it at all time I got to watch him do it week in and week out. Rest in peace, Sam Burns.
Yeah. Sam the Man Burns, yeah. Of course.
Huge inspiration, man.
Sam Burns was probably at the time, maybe like in his mid-40s, when he started playing at Pollen. And at this point, you know, Sam's career would gone in a lot of different directions. And, you know, he was certainly still around, but there was this whole crop of people that had come through like the rave scene and some of the other warehouse party scene in the DC area that had never experienced Sam Burns at the Roxy or at the Warehouse or at a lot of these other institutions of house music that Sam played at. And we loved Sam and we loved house music. And we were at the time, even as the promoters, we were going through a struggle of the younger kids wanting to hear the more bumpier stuff, as Sam would call it, doing the skippy toe dance. And us being the guys that want to hear like Kerry Chandler, want to hear Dennis Farrar. But we loved Sam, but we also had this crowd that was into like the Keokies and the Josh Winks. And I watched as Sam.
Those skippy toed.
Sam made. How did Sam create a mood and a vibe that they ended up being like, okay, this is cool. But he birthed a whole nother generation of his fans that then rocked for him with him for 20 years after till the time of his passing, where he was able to say, all right, here, I'm going to give you this Armand Van Helden Speed Garage record, and I'll give you the, you know, Boris DeLugas Keep Pushing On, and like some of these big hits at the time that were like big house records. But then he would go into his stuff and he would work the mic and he would educate them. And he just poured a lot of his own knowledge but also really wanting to care about bringing them forward. And so, yeah, maybe that's going to be hard to do in a night, but still you can, you know, as Sean was alluding to as well, it's all about making sure that you have some things that you know are going to work for them, so that you can always hit it when you need to. Like if you're losing the room, you got to come back to that.
Yeah. It's absolutely. Like you got, there's like a really nice balance that you have to, like, you know, you have to walk that tight line. And it's like, at the end of the day, you shouldn't be DJing for yourself. You know, like, you know, you're DJing for a crowd. It's like, you're DJing for people.
Yeah.
You know, like I said before, it's like, you gotta focus on the ladies. The ladies are the ones that gets the party started, gets the party moving, gets everybody dancing. So focus on, you know, making them dance, making them enjoy the party. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, like if you want to, you know, you can't lose yourself. Like, you know, if you want to, you know, play some stuff that'll feed your soul.
Oh, totally do it.
You know, like, you know, it's a sprinkling. It's a sprinkling. It's not like, you know, you can't be playing like two or three of songs that you want to play. Like, I'm going to force feed this song to everybody. It's like a sprinkling. It's like you got to have, like, you know, like have like not a formula, but like sort of like a good routine with your mindset, you know, and just like play like a whole bunch, get the energy up, and then like, all right, I find a little break
for you,
slide it in. And then if it doesn't work, you better have a backup plan. Yeah, that's the most important thing. You better have a backup plan.
And
because you want to get out of that quickly. And if you don't have a backup plan, you're definitely going to start losing the night.
I think art is the master at that. Like, I'm going to show you something that you're going to like, and then sticking your chest out as you do it. That confidence.
Yeah, it's a battle. It's the battle years. I mean, I was going to say that exact same thing, Sean. The one thing I always love about watching Art DJ is his showmanship and the confident, like exuding confidence in what you're doing.
Yeah. And that goes a long way. And I was mentioning just before we were recording this, like, you know, one song that I've been playing in my sets recently, like that'll just come out of nowhere, is El Chapo by The Game and Skrillex. It's like a B-side record, but like
that
really
so hard.
It's so dope, man. And I think, you know, people kind of hear it and they kind of don't know what to do at first, but then they look up at me. Or they look at me and I'm sitting there just rocking, like bouncing, like the illest record. And I look at them like they're crazy, like, y'all know this record? Like, whatever, yo. And then they just follow. They're just like, oh, okay, this guy clearly knows what he's talking about.
This is
record.
Well, another thing, Adrian, is like, you know, because like, you know, like dance music, EDM, has so many like different genres and styles. But I think the biggest thing you can do is really bring your own style to a certain genre. If you're told, hey, this is what plays during the night, but we want you to play yourself, but like, maybe like figure out, okay, how do I incorporate the stuff that I like into that certain genre? You know, it's like for me, like, you know, when I'm downloading dance remixes of like, you know, like of different popular songs, there's like always like 10, 15 different versions, but I always choose the ones that has like for me, like I love pianos. I love like, you know, organic instruments, you know, a lot of like 80s type synths, you know, analog synths. I always look for that type of sound. I'm not going to go with like, oh, like, you know, Dutch house, you know, yeah. type of sound or whatever was big like during the electro days. Yeah. But, you know, I always rely on like, okay, this is what I like. I'll just download this one and then I'll play that. So it's like incorporating a lot of like the sounds that you like, a lot of like the styles that you like, but then, you know, really look for it, like to do it within the genre that you're, I guess, you're supposed to play, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I just want to shout out again, like, you know, it's just so awesome to be here in DC and to be able to connect with like a certain kind of vibe, and also be around people that are open to the kind of music that I would kind of generally like to play. And huge shout out again to Sam the Man Burns, Stylist Chris, and the 18th Street Lounge. Like, thank you guys for having me Wednesday. That you guys keep it real. Like, it's very much what I love and appreciate. Oh,
that's right. You forgot to mention that. You did that last week.
I just was thinking weekends, but man, seriously, that means so much to me to be able to be a part of that.
And you're not only an ATS, you're a dagger now, man.
You're so awesome.
You are like your honorary dagger member.
Yeah, man.
I can't wait to
like, you're going to be on a bunch of our tracks. So at this point, you're a dagger.
I can't wait.
Yeah, for those guys that know, the daggers, the crafty daggers, are Stylist Chris, Harry Hotter, and DJ Trez, awesome production duo, production trio. Those guys
so good.
Together, Tres Leches.
All three of those guys. If you know them, you can only imagine the ideas and the records.
Oh, yeah, it sounds really awesome.
Go look for their stuff, man. And and look for Adrian's Doc Bluss guitars on some of their next records. Guitar playing on their next records.
Well, dope, man. Like, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, man, this is a DJ school. This is a DJ, you know, podcast. Like, so it's always nice to, you know, to be vulnerable and like, you know, explain, you know, ask things for what you can do better, you know.
For sure.
Especially, you know, there's a panel of like DJs here that have like, it's got to be, we've got to be like combined like 100 years experience now.
I remember reading your guys' thing. It was like Gio and Chris alone. I think it was like some Beat Refinery thing. And it was like with combined DJ years experience, there's like over 40 years on there.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, whoa. Yeah. Like
2003 is coming up for me. And that's going to be three decades for me, man.
Well, that's right. That's
talking about respect, man.
Yeah,
started in 93 till infinity. Wow. So
that's why I was so nervous. And I was just at your wedding party.
I was still just like,
dude. Well,
oh, but it's dope. Let's great that you mentioned all that, Adrian. It's always good to educate everybody, all of our listeners. You know, it's good to always like, you know, say it with your chest, get it out of your chest,
dude.
But let's go on, move on to some news topic of the week.
New news.
We got DJ first news. DJ news.
Oh, this thing's happening.
The DJ news.
We should do like a CNN type, you know.
The freak, man?
So, well, yeah. You want to do it, Doc?
Oh, yeah. Well,
what's on the docket, Doc?
What's going on is NAMM has been postponed to mid June, which is peak wedding season. First week of June. And since, you know, it was postponed from January to the first week of June, and it's just a lot more conflicting for many DJs that are out there doing weddings, and
I would imagine a bunch of musicians too. Like,
because that's a summer. That's part of the summer.
This is the peak of tour season for everyone. That's why this doesn't make any logical sense to myself and anybody else on this.
I mean, people will still go if it was like in the week during the weekday, but
weekend, it's a weekend.
I think it has to be that the convention hall isn't.
Yeah, it's full. I bet there's so much postponed conferences.
There's something about California too, though. California has a lot of like the artists on that side that probably will just show up.
True.
You know, like, I don't think they're too worried about it because it's California. Like,
and a lot of the manufacturers are out there as well.
We live in DC where, like, you know, people have to spend a whole lifetime to come out here.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is the one in that when it's normally in January, it is also on the weekend there. But, you know, we don't.
But it's a whole week.
You know people have it's pretty easy to let go a weekend in January. The only time
it's prime really money making.
The only time it really stinks is because you don't expect to have a lot of really big gigs in January, and if you know there's 4 weeks to choose from, and it always seems like you get the only gig, like big gig you'll have in January is the same week as NAMM. You're like, really? Of course. But now it's like, you know, I think they've, you know, there's probably a lot of logistical things that we don't understand of why they needed to be then. But I also think they probably want a lot of people to have conflicts and not come because they're still trying not to be a super spreader event of 250 plus.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
So I think that they were like, well, if you can't come, you can't come because we're not going to, you know, they want it to be a lot more. I saw in their email, they were, you know, a lot of outdoor stuff this time around. Like they're trying to really push more of the outdoor space. And, you know, they always do a summer NAMM. It's in Nashville and it's, you know, nobody goes to it.
Much smaller.
Because it's much smaller.
And it's a month later. Yeah, I think it's in July.
Yeah, so I don't know
if it's summer NAMM.
So I don't even know.
I'm back in shadow now.
But for all the listeners that don't know what we're talking about, the NAMM show, it happens every year, usually in January. Of course, you know, it hasn't happened because of the pandemic. But
we need to tell them what NAMM stands for.
Yeah,
North Nashville. American Music Messe.
Messe.
Wow, I didn't even know that. That's what it stands for.
That's not what it stands for.
No, but like, for the DJ world.
Association of Music Merchandiser.
Yeah.
Merchant Art. Oh, man, I read the wrong description. Oops.
That was wrong, actually. Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I'll come back next year.
It sounded fun, though. It sounded right.
The NAMM show, it's at the Anaheim Convention Center. It's huge. It's a huge conference. It's mostly, you know, like a lot of the, it's not just like DJs. It's all musicians, you know, guitar players, you know, music business, you know,
everybody
sound system
in the industry is
there. Anything that has to do with music.
But then NAMM every year has sort of like become like a big meeting, like a big conference for DJs. You know, it's like a lot of. I mean, I've been to it twice. You know, like what was it? Like the 2020 and 2018. Those are the only time. And I know Chris and Art have gone to it many times.
Art is my NAMM road dog. We've been out to NAMM together every year for probably six years at least.
And then we would have had seventh, but we got pandemic last year. Couldn't do it.
But it's a who's who of DJs as far as like a lot of like the scratch DJs, the battle DJs, the open format guys, you know, even some not much like the bigger house, you know, DJs, but it's definitely a who's who of like, you know, DJs that attend there. And then, you know, you can basically network and mingle with them and also, lots of shows, you know.
Put it to you this way, random people that we've seen walking around, like Stevie Wonder, every year he's always walking around. I saw Gwar walking around in full costume. Gwar, come on, dude, like this is NAMM, bro. Like, you're gonna just have Gwar walking around, you're like, oh my god, is that Gwar? You guys know what Gwar is.
North, so it's a North American music merchandise, to be clear, right?
Okay.
Merchant.
Yeah. Okay.
American.
Don't listen to me.
National Association of Music Merchants.
The big gripe we had, you know, what grinded our gears is like, I'm already booked. It's like it's happening June 3rd to June 5th. So it's Friday to Sunday. I'm already booked for a wedding June 4th. So I'm going to miss next year.
Yeah. You know, problem is you're either booked or you're going to have to turn down money.
Exactly. Paying money to turn down.
You're paying money to go.
Paying money to down more. Yeah, it's a double whammy.
It's a double whammy.
Oh yeah. Thanks, Nam.
It is.
Thanks, Nam.
It's during baseball season, so I'm just really hoping that maybe I can go see Mike Trout play. And Shohei Ohtani. If they ain't
in town, I'm going. Oh, my God. Glass is half full with this guy. I like
that. Ohtani, man. That is the
I want to go see right Shohei Ohtani
play. I make the best out of it.
If you guys didn't know, man, Ohtani's like he's a pitcher and a good-ass hitter.
He's the greatest baseball player that exists.
Right? And, I did not. He's Japanese.
What team does he play for?
The Angels.
I mean, the Angels basically have the two greatest baseball players right now.
And the dude's Japanese?
Yeah, he's Japanese.
Is he from Japan?
Yeah.
He's a starting pitcher.
Okay.
And he plays as a DH. So he hits every day.
He leads the league in home runs.
Yeah, exactly. A pitcher that leads the league in home runs.
Yeah, it haven't happened in like 100 and some years.
That's crazy.
Not since Babe Ruth.
Okay. Yeah, no.
Okay. So do you guys think that we might see something like this at NAMM? Reloops break for a new laptop song?
That is exactly.
Definitely at
NAMM. And then, sorry.
Adrian, exactly that was such kind of a good segment. We got to stay away from the sports podcast.
Sports ball. I'm going to speak right into this. So
I'm going to hit a touchdown.
I'm going to hit a touchdown on the 40-yard line while I'm dunking the ball.
In the face.
You're throwing me off my game. All right, so here's the situation. Reloop has changed the game. I'm going to give you all a visual for anybody checking the video version of the podcast. But for audio, Reloop has released a new laptop stand. And ultimately, the idea behind this laptop stand, it is the future of DJ laptop stands because
That's actually it right
there? No.
This is just Crane Elite. Crane has been like the head of making innovative DJ laptop stands for a while. And this is called the Z style of mounting your laptop on here.
Right.
And you can have a low height, you can have a high height. But basically, Reloop has made this stand called the Hub Stand with a built-in USB 3.1 four-port hub. But here's the game-changing part. Now that every computer that's newly manufactured can take power off of USB-C, the hub also lets you plug in your power to the bottom of the laptop stand, and it passes through. It's called pass-through power the computer. There's another USB-C port at the top. So if you want to charge your computer, have your hard drive and your phase all hooked up together at the same time, you have one cable coming out your computer.
That's great.
The hub doesn't take up any extra space. This is huge.
Don't definitely a laptop stand at home.
Yep. This thing is living here forever. I'm going to get one of these
It's
quickly.
Literally a twofer. It's a twofer.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That would definitely help my setup here, man. Because like, I have three hubs that I'm using.
Yeah.
And they're USB 3.0.
3.1.
3.1.
Wow. Yeah. It's the newest version of USB that's in the old form factor. Like the latest, fastest that you can do.
How many plugs? How many ports?
Four USB A ports.
Wow.
But then
that's like Serato,
passport, and the power port.
So power, so you can plug in power, you can plug in Serato, you can plug in phase, and then maybe like another additional goes into one plug into your computer.
Yep.
Wow.
And that's apparently amazing. They gave you the main cable is a USB-C to USB-C. For those that's that are cool. rocking that, but then they also give you apparently a USB-C to USB-A. So
It
should work for the rest of anybody who's not on a new MacBook Pro.
I don't remember the USB-A.
That doesn't affect resources only being plugged to one one port.
Mojax from the DJ City crew did such a great review on this thing, and he actually demonstrates how it doesn't do anything to stutter with power loss or anything like that. So check the DJ City Tips and Tricks review that Mojax did on YouTube.
Shout out to Mojax,
Shout out to Mojax.
Shout out to DJ City.
Yep.
DJ City.
Shout out to NAMM, where I go be able to get
now, we'll see for the first time.
So Sean, is this available now to purchase?
Let me take a look at this. I think it's available now because this is a review that Mojax did.
Well, just
typically Mojax does reviews on things that are available on the market.
Very true.
What if I want it for like, you know, Christmas or the holidays?
Well played, sirs.
I like these transitions, man.
Well, if you're trying to get yourself a Christmas present, that's for real. Speaking of holiday shopping, there's another really important article I think every DJ should pay close attention to. Straight from DJ Tech Tools, I'm going to give you all the synopsis. I've been paying close attention to this for a couple months. There is a massive, massive, massive back order on anything being shipped since COVID hit, and all the transatlantic shipping containers are basically like either waiting in line to get to a port or they're waiting in line to pick something up. So everything that needs to be shipped internationally is being delayed for a lot of the shipping reasons, but there's also a chip shortage. So DJ Tech Tools is in a unique position. They manufacture the MIDI Fighter controllers that people might be familiar with, as well as their own Chroma cables. So they have the eye on, like, firsthand, this is what it looks like to manufacture a product. They put together this article that does a really good job of breaking down the context for us DJs and producers as to why things are going to take a real long time to show up, because they can't either get the parts or ship the thing. But the most important takeaway everybody needs to pay attention to, their recommendation is, if you're trying to have DJ gear for Christmas, get it before September ends. We're about to stress the entire distribution chain and international shipping chain for the holidays coming up.
It's no joke, guys.
This is for real. If you want to get the new stuff, you better order it now. Because everybody's going to Amazon to get all their Christmas presents.
Is there any gear that you guys want to get within like the next 2 weeks or a month?
Legit, probably this Reloop.
I definitely want that laptop stand. Yeah, I want that laptop stand for sure. So this is another bug. I have a MacBook Pro 2017 touchscreen that has the glitch that if you unplug or lose power from Serato, you have to hard reset your entire computer. It locks It locks up the toolbar, and you have to do a hard reset. Shout out again to Digital Tech Tools, because they were the ones that were, this was a known issue, and I don't know, they might have fixed it with some of the newer model MacBook Pros, but the late 2017 edition specifically had issues. So if you're just plugged into your S9 with a regular the USB
regular A to B cable.
No, the one that they now make that goes from the Serato, the USB-B, and then USB-C on the other side.
The B to C. Gotcha. Yeah.
Even if you unplug that without shutting Serato down properly, it'll freeze. It'll lock your computer up. If you're using using USB-B to USB-A with an adapter, even the MacBook certified adapter, same thing. There's one hub that they found that it for whatever reason
solves the problem.
It solves the problem. So that's the one I use on all my gear, because if for whatever reason you lose power, accidentally get unplugged, it doesn't. You can just plug right back in.
So you're curious to see if the Reloop.
Yes. Before I buy that, I'm gonna have to go
do some stress tests.
Test it out.
Yeah. And
for sure. Anybody else that has that same problem. And then the other thing I think I want to buy before the year's up, I think I'm going to end up finally getting FaZe.
Okay. I was just going to say, if there's one thing that I
have. For those of you watching, everyone
all the way to this point in time is definitely FaZe.
I think it's FaZe time. It's time. It's FaZe time. FaZe in the FaZe.
I left my FaZe at home for my wedding this past weekend, and it was the first time hadn't brought it with me for months. Accidentally, I just like forgot to grab it and put it in the backpack. It was the last thing I needed to get, and I was just out the door. And I was like, all right, it's fine. I got my needles, I got my records, I'm gonna do the time code thing. And I was like, oh my God, I feel like I'm back in time. Like, this used to be normal, but I had to think about the bass hitting and skipping the needle again. And I was like, it's been so long since I had to do that, I almost forgot how much of a difference it made for me. So really, I'm all on Team FaZe. I'm all on Team FaZe.
Yeah. In the FaZe.
Nice one. I think they've solved enough of the annoyances and the bugs of why I didn't want it or wanted to wait.
I think the new wireless mode.
Yeah, that's it. I mean,
I've used it. I don't own it. Like I said, I don't have it, but I've used it, and it's finally gotten me to go, okay, I'd buy this now.
Yeah.
So with the wireless mode, you don't have to plug in the RCAs anymore into the mixer, right?
USB. All you need.
So it's basically, HID mode, you know. Yep.
That's exactly how it works. It's HID through the FaZe controller.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Yeah, you don't have to like go like dig, you know, especially if you're, you know, working at a club, you don't have to dig.
Well, if you want to get it, you're going to have to order it now.
Yeah, I just want to second that, or like echo that. It's true. There's a massive shortage of cargo containers, simply the containers that the things will go in from other different parts of the world. And then the ports themselves that they're leaving from, you know, due to a bunch of different situations. But this is causing a huge backlog of a bunch of different things to be leaving from those ports and getting to where we want to be. And then, you know, including then chip shortages. So it's no joke. If you do want something for Christmas, yeah, like Sean said.
Cargo containers. Is it because like everybody.
The shipping containers themselves.
The shipping containers. Everybody wants to like build houses out of them nowadays.
I mean, I'd be on that if I could get one.
So they're legitimately so expensive that people are waiting to stock up in a necessary stocking of a certain item or whatever to fill up that cargo container to actually be worth the cost of something being shipped.
It's more cost effective to leave the boat in the water than to fill it with things that you don't need. Yeah.
Speaking of stocking stuffers, as we're talking some holiday time, that was always the big thing growing up, was like getting like an album or a cassette tape in your stocking, like a group that you wanted. Nowadays everything is digital and those days are gone. But we had our show last week. A lot of it was dedicated to the Drake, Kanye, and we saw anybody that's been watching the charts. We've got
results from our question.
Who had the better album? At least the more popular album, and I guess Drake had the better album / popular.
Yeah, and I'll list down the facts here. So it's like, you know, basically Drake set the record with 9 songs in the Billboard charts top 10 last week, which is like unheard of, man. From like a single album. Drake tied Ariana Grande for the most number one debuts in history. So, and then another fact from that was like, Certified Lover Boy breaks the all-time record for most Billboard Hot 100 top 10 hits from a single album.
Certified. And there's a reason.
That's 10 songs in like the Hot 100.
I want to hear Stylist Chris's perspective on why.
So the way that they do charts now is totally different because of streaming. And in the past, that would never happen because songs were released as official singles. You wouldn't be able to actually track a song unless it was released as an official single through physical medium, the way like when I owned the record store, that you would track songs. So when you have now the ability for them to chart actual single plays, even though they're not singles on the album, they're from his album, it started with MP3s being able to be downloaded, you know. But most of the time, if a person was really into an artist, like let's say this album came out 5 years ago, even before streaming became like the absolute way they track things, well, you weren't going to sit there and singly pay and download each song. You're going to just, if it's the Drake album, you're just going to buy the Drake album.
You're buy the single.
And then the single charts are based on lots of other factors. But now they have the streaming capability to look at each song. And that allows for somebody like Drake, whose album is being played so much. So this is going to be the new way this happens. So this isn't, in my mind, is not like some, oh my gosh, it means his album so good. No, it's just the technology now traces. So this is going to be the pattern that we see with most albums.
It did start like with iTunes. iTunes, you know, that was a trend with iTunes when an album comes out. There's like multiple songs, you know.
But then usually by that point, you're like, well, shoot, I've got enough to just download the album. So you're not necessarily tracking it in the same way. It's like the Eminem album comes out. You're like, how does Eminem have all these hot singles? None of this is getting played in the clubs.
Did Kanye get a song charted?
Hurricane charted for a while. There was a few songs that charted for a while. Jesus Is Lord, I think, charted for a while.
Yeah, Jesus Lord was on there.
But like you said, you know, the wave of popularity of the Drake album, and this is going to be the same thing. Whoever the artist is, we're just going to see this as the trend. It's almost the bar set that you.
So
have.
So who's gonna be the first top 10 guy? Like all 10.
Oh, I mean, Drake is in a strong position now.
Woman, you know, guy, artist, man,
Dylan. We'll have to wait and talk about this next episode.
I know.
Oh, yeah, to be continued.
All right, fellas, our hour is up. That was fun. I liked what we talked about today. But we'll see everybody next week. Again, this is the Teacher's Lounge presented by Beat Refinery. Learn how to mix, scratch, and make music by visiting beatrefinery.com, locations nationwide. We'll see you guys next week. Everybody say peace.
Back to school, peace, everybody. Peace.
Get to class.